You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
After buying a ticket, boarding a plane, and arriving at your destination, the normal expectation is you'll be able to leave the airport. When David Barsamian arrived in New Delhi Airport September 23rd, that was his expectation. Unfortunately, things weren't normal. To pick up the story, I'm joined on the phone by David Barsamian. We reached him at his home in Colorado. He's the creator of Alternative Radio, whose interviews and recordings are frequently broadcast on Red Eye and other programs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. Welcome back to Red Eye, David.
Always a pleasure to be on Red Eye and my very favorite radio station in Vancouver.
So pick up the thread and tell us what happened on your arrival at New Delhi Airport once your plane had landed.
Well, I've been traveling to India since 1966. I first went there when I was 21 years old, and I had a valid visa. I had recently been in India as recently as this past February, and there was no hint of any kind of difficulty or a problem. And I arrive at Indira Gandhi International Airport. I'm asked to wait. Ominously, immigration officials come over to me and say, come with us. That's the last words, you know, those are the last words anyone wants to hear at any airport, you know, including Vancouver. And I was put in a room, and very quickly, to compress a lot of time here, I was told that I'm going back on the same Lufthansa flight that I arrived on. When I asked why, a piece of paper was waved in my face. I could see that it was an order from the government of India with my name on it. I could see the word banned. It was very prominent, and the Lufthansa flight. And I was promptly put back on the very same plane. Not only was it a deeply humiliating and shocking experience, but a very expensive one. You get to pay for your own deportation. They took my return ticket, went to the Lufthansa counter and said, you know, he's going back, not allowed entry into India. And that's what happened. And to this date, I have had no official explanation from the government of India, even though numerous people have contacted the government, including independent journalists. A petition has been submitted to the Ministry of Home Affairs, which is in charge of immigration. A petition signed by such luminaries as Arundhati Roy, Vandana Shiva, Aruna Roy, Sanjay Kak, Rumila Thapar, Amit Bhaduri, literally a who's who of, I would say, the intellectual left artists and writers in India.
So you've never been deported from India. I understand you've never been deported from any other country, for that matter. They don't give you an official reason. What do you speculate as to their banning you from coming into India?
Well, again, without any kind of official acknowledgement, the speculation is quite heavy. That it has to do with my reporting on Kashmir, my uncovering of numerous atrocities there, including most recently mass graves all over the Kashmir Valley. Some 8,000 to 10,000 Kashmiris have gone missing in the largest number of custodial deaths in the world. And many of these bodies now are turning up in unmarked graves all over Kashmir. That's number one. Anything to do with Kashmir makes the Indian government just go ballistic and berserk. Very much like any discussion of Tibet makes the Chinese government completely irrational and very punitive in its responses. The other thing is I've been covering the multiple uprisings in central and eastern India, in Jharkhand, in Chhattisgarh, in Orissa, in Andhra Pradesh, and I was scheduled to meet the very prominent human rights activist and medical doctor, Dr. Binayak Sen, on October 2nd, which is ironically Gandhi's birthday. And the Indian government knew that, and I think they wanted to prevent that meeting and any attention being paid to Dr. Binayak Sen.
So have other people been banned from Kashmir? The Indian Army has some 60 to 70,000 troops.
No, you're missing one digit there. 600 to 700,000 troops. It is the most densely occupied zone in the world. Yes, Indian nationals have been prevented from entering Kashmir themselves. A well-known journalist and human rights activist, Gautam Nolaka, was turned back at Srinagar Airport. Earlier in September of this year, a few weeks before I was prevented from denied entry into India, a well-known human rights activist from the Philippines tried to get into India. She was denied entry. Last year, an American academic, Richard Shapiro, was also denied entry. So clearly, India is trying to control the narrative. It's trying to dominate the message that, you know, everything is just hunky-dory in Kashmir. You know, there are a few problems here and there, but we can solve it, completely obfuscating and masking over the 70,000-plus Kashmiris who have been killed since 1989, since the uprising began, the many missing, the many wounded, the many traumatized. There's a phenomenon in Kashmir called half-widows. That is to say, numerous women, mothers, wives, cannot collect or be eligible for any kind of government assistance because their husbands have gone missing and they cannot prove death. And so they're called half-widows. They're in this legal limbo land. It's a very tragic situation.
Yeah, you talk about India pretending that things are honky-dory in Kashmir. I understand they were trying to organize a major literary festival there to cover up. It's a bit like the Israeli cultural disguise of their occupation through sending their performers around the world and inviting artists to come and perform in Israel.
Well, I know for a fact that Basharat Peer, who is a friend of mine and I was going to interview, he's the author of Curfewed Night, he denounced this manipulation of writers and artists in Kashmir, and he refused to participate in this so-called literary festival. But that, again, is as you point out, it's typical of states to try and gloss over their atrocities with music concerts and poetry symposia, and literary festivals.
Arundhati Roy has written about your deportation. You mentioned her name and Vandana Shiva and many other prominent progressive activists in India denouncing your deportation. Is there any action that's going on outside of India that could be helpful?
Well, thank you for asking. I think if people would have to write to the Indian embassy in Washington, D.C., and just pose the question, you know, why can't David Barsamian of Alternative Radio, an independent journalist, you know, why can't he travel freely to India? That would be very helpful. Embassy of India, Washington, D.C., you could direct it to the ambassador. I believe her name is Rao, R-A-O, Rao, Mrs. Rao.
Okay, thank you for that, and we'll refer people to that. One other thing, the Indian government, according to Arundhati Roy, is very much demanding security clearances for people who come to conferences. I don't know about journalists, but certainly if you go to an academic conference, not if you're investing in India as a corporate mogul, but if you're coming to a conference, you have to get approval of various levels of government and three arms of Indian state security. Was there any reference at all to that you hadn't satisfied these kind of arbitrary...
None whatsoever. And as I said, I was there in February, and I received no indication from the government of India that I was on any kind of list. Certainly, if such a list exists, and I believe it does, then it should have been sent to Lufthansa in Denver, and they would not have allowed me to board the flight, and I would not have gone through the financial and emotional loss that I experienced. Now, I've been talking to a couple of journalists recently Yesterday, in fact, the Committee to Protect Journalists in New York has taken an interest in my case, and the woman I was talking to said she had applied for a journalism visa, and she's now, 4 months later, still waiting for that visa. Another journalist I spoke to, a woman in San Francisco who covered, wrote about my case, said she waited 2 years for a journalism visa. She finally gave up and went on a tourist visa. The constrictions and restraints on getting an official journalism visa to India are so cumbersome and are so difficult to satisfy that almost every journalist I know goes to India on a tourist visa.
Well, thanks for taking time this morning to inform us of this arbitrary and indefensible deportation, and we'll hope that some pressure can be brought to bear on the Indian government. Thank you, David.
I hope so, too, and people can go to alternativeradio.org, alternativeradio.org for more information. Thanks so much for having me on Red Eye.
I've been speaking with David Barsamian. He's creator of Alternative Radio. It regularly produces intensive interviews and records incisive talks of prominent independent critical thinkers. Alternative recordings are broadcast on 125 radio stations in the U.S., Canada, and Europe, and Vancouver Cooperative Radio, including Red Eye Program, is proudly one of these. If you want to go to more information on David Barsamian's deportation, go to alternativeradio.org.